Hear your favorite NFL legends sharing their stories and insights every week right here on Thursday Night Tailgate with Chris Mascaro and Bob Lazeri. Take it away, guys.
The door is locked. There's no way out.
And now back with us and making his fifth appearance on Thursday Night Tailgate is Quinn Gray. Let me remind you about Quinn's background. He's from Fort Lauderdale, Florida, played his college ball at Florida A&M, where he holds the record for the most career passing yards. He led Florida A&M to the 2001 Black College National Championship, and that year he was the MEAC Player of the Year. He was an undrafted free agent signed by the Jacksonville Jaguars in 2002, was allocated to the Frankfurt Galaxy of the NFL Europe back in 2003, where he led the team in World Bowl 11. He went back and played with the Jaguars from 2005 to 2007. He also played for the Texans, Colts, Chiefs, and New York Sentinels of the United Football League. After his playing career, he went back to his alma mater, Florida A&M, and was their offensive coordinator, quarterbacks coach for a while. He's now the head football coach at Lincoln High School there in Tallahassee. He's been a wonderful friend of the show, and we are thrilled he is back with us again tonight here on Thursday Night Tailgate. Hey, Quinn, Chris, and Bob, thanks for coming back.
Hi,
on the
Quinn.
Show.
Oh, man, it's been a while, man. I hadn't realized that I've been on five times, man. I enjoy being with you guys so much, but listen, coming after Greg Lloyd, y'all gotta let me on after somebody that ain't gonna be a Hall of Famer, or that's a tough act to follow, man.
No doubt, but you're just the man to do it, Quinn. I have every faith in you, my friend.
Man,
so Quinn, it's great seeing you coaching back in Tallahassee, and even greater to see some of your players committing to go play at your alma mater, Florida A&M. Our good friend Willie Simmons being the head coach there. So with National Signing Day being yesterday, talk about where some of your players are headed.
Man, we've had a great couple of years here in the past 2 years being at Lincoln with our guys signing to go to continue their futures playing college football. This year, so far, we've had three guys. We had our tight end, who's a three-star tight end, who signed early with new head coach Mack Brown in North Carolina. He signed early in December, and we had two guys sign on yesterday, which was my right tackle defensive end and my other defensive end, who's going to Mississippi College. And I had the other kid, Jalen Henry, who signed with Yale University. So, you know, we're extremely proud of the guys that were able to obtain college scholarship early on in the signing process. But what we got to realize is, and I had to make sure my kids understood that, was we are just early in the signing period. And National Signing Day just commences the signing period. So we actually got a small college recruiting fair coming up this Saturday. And I'm looking forward to about four or five more of my guys signing on to play college football and continue their careers, man, and getting their free education.
And Quinn, when you take a look at your coaching style, are there coaches that you learned from during the course of your playing career that you took bits and pieces from this guy and that guy and the other guy and sort of incorporated that into your coaching style? Who are the coaches that had the biggest influence on you?
There's no question, man. My head coach in college, Coach Billy Joe, was very instrumental in at things that I do these days in terms of offensively and the way that I coach and things that I try to implement into our young men. But my dad was probably the biggest influence on me in terms of coaching. My dad coached several years in the high school ranks in Florida, won multiple state championships, and guys like Isaac Bruce, Lorenzo White, who was just inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame, Frank Sanders, Calvin Jackson, Hyland Hickson, guys of that nature. But so I get a lot of what I do from my dad. But in terms of schematics and things like that, Coach Jack Del Rio was a guy who was very player-oriented. Coach Herm Edwards, who's at Arizona, was a guy who was very player oriented. And those were just a couple of the guys that I really, took some of my thoughts and efforts to get these young men in the right direction. Coach, Jim Caldwell was very, very instrumental in my development as a quarterback when I was with the Colts for the short time I was with the Colts. He was very, very meticulous in terms of being, assertive and very detail oriented. And for me, at this point, trying to get these young men these days to be very detail oriented and pay attention to the minor details is something that I learned from him, because those are the things that are going to be, very important in wins and losses. So there's a multitude of coaches that I've taken a lot from. But most importantly, I've taken my coaching and my ability to try to reach young men from my dad, Otis Gray.
Bob, questions for Quinn?
Hey, Quinn, and you touched upon my first question. It was about your high school, and the alumni from Dillard High School. They sent 18 players to the NFL. You mentioned Isaac Roos, yourself, and Frank Sanders, and White, and that is some kind of crew. And I was just saying, I wanted to know, is there a very close bond between all of you? You must be very proud of that place.
I really am, man, to be honest with you, man, because I had the very fortunate opportunity to grow up around those guys. Isaac Bruce was one of the top receivers. A lot of people don't know that Frank Sanders played tight end in high school and went on to Auburn and turned into a receiver. Calvin Jackson, Brian Allen, who played, those five guys that left Dillard, Otis Mounds, and all those guys, James Bostic that went to Auburn and had that undefeated season under Terry Bowden, who went in the Swamp and beat Florida that year. All of those guys played on the same high school team in 1989 when they won a state championship with my dad and was a state runner-up in 1990. So to the Dillard family, the Panther family, is a very close-knit family. We were very excited that Isaac made the finalist list for the Hall of Fame this year. We were looking forward to celebrating with him. But obviously, unfortunately, he didn't make it this year. But we know he'll get in eventually because he is a Hall of Famer in our eyes, and he'll get in maybe next year, hopefully. But the lineage and the history and the pride that we have in the guys that have gone on to play in the NFL for my high school, guys like Leonard Myers, and God bless his soul, we've done a great job of staying together, coming back to the high school and talking to those young men and making sure that we give back to those that, you know, are following behind us. And all of those guys that are part of that history have come back at some point and talked to the young men and made sure that they've given back to the Dillard community, which gave so much to us.
And Quinn, I was looking at some of your old coaches. You mentioned Del Rio, and that 2007 season where you played very well, Dirk Cutter was the offensive coordinator. Now, he's a guy that went on to coach Tampa with not much success. He's just been hired again as the coordinator with the Falcons. What are your memories of him as an offensive mind, and do you think he'll ever get a shot at a head coaching position again?
When Dirk was brought to Jacksonville, Dirk was, I think, just coming from Arizona State, if I'm not mistaken, as the head coach. And Dirk was very, very innovative when it came to the offensive side of the ball. Dirk is a very, very knowledgeable coach. Dirk is a very detail-oriented guy when it comes down to the position, which is why I think that the quarterback there, Jameis Winston, had the success that he's had. Jameis obviously had to take care of the ball a little bit better, but with the success he's had a great mentor in Dirk. And Dirk was sort of kind of the reason that I had the success that I had. When I was there and Dirk came in 2006, I think we had already gone through three different offensive coordinators. And to be with Dirk for at least 2 years, I was able to settle in. And in 2007, when I got my couple of starts, Dirk actually helped me tremendously in having some success in my first starts in the NFL. He MF'd me all around the field and made sure that I was ready. But at the end of the day, you know, you take coaching as it is. You know, I didn't listen to the harsh things that he was saying. I took the coaching for what he was trying to get over to me. But Dirk will definitely be successful with Matt Ryan in Atlanta, if he does what he's supposed to do. Cause he has the weapons there in Atlanta. And I think, you know, If I'm not mistaken, he may have been in Atlanta before with Coach Smitty, correct?
I believe he was. Yeah.
Coach Smith was our defensive coordinator in Jacksonville, and when he got the head job in Atlanta, I think he brought Dirk with him once Jack Del Rio was let go. So, but I think that, you know, he just, in terms of Tampa, it might not have been the right situation for him, but I definitely believe if given the opportunity, you know, Dirk will definitely be a great head coach. You know, he's a little bit different in terms of his personality and all that good stuff. And, I think it just might not have been the right situation in Tampa the way things went down, with the head coach that was there previously and then Dirk being put into position, the way he was. Because I personally thought it was a bad situation because the head coach that was there wasn't given an opportunity to be successful. And then Dirk sort of kind of was thrust into that position, as the head coach. And I don't think that Dirk may have maybe wanted to get that head coach position in the style that he was given the head coach position. So, Dirk is a very resourceful guy. I know for a fact that he'll definitely fall on his feet and take Atlanta to heights that they have seen before with him. And maybe on to back to the Super Bowl, maybe. But I think Dirk could definitely be a head coach in the NFL again if given the opportunity.
Quinn, when you joined the Jaguars, I want to go back to your playing days, and you came in as an undrafted free agent. Had to be very difficult to make the team, particularly as a quarterback in that situation. Talk about what you did to capture the attention of the coaches.
For me, I think the biggest thing was being very, very attentive in meetings and being able to pay close attention to the minor details. Because the game of football, let's just be honest, the game of football is not going to change the fundamentals of it. It's about blocking. It's about tackling. It's about throwing, completing passes, and being able to run the football. And for me, you know, it was just going out and doing what I did best. And I was playing a game that I love so much. But coming from from what some people may call a small school like FAMU, but in our eyes, it's actually one of the biggest universities in the world. I think, you know, the biggest transition that I needed to make at the time was coming from an offense that went no huddle all the time, went four wides all the time, went five wides all the time, and was in shotgun 98% of the time. So for me, the biggest transition that I needed to make was being able to take a snap from under center and things like that. And that's where the NFL Europe came into play for me. I hated to see that the NFL Europe dissolved because I think the NFL Europe produced quite a bit of guys, quite a good bit of players that needed that actual ability to go and play and get some experience and play professional ball. In a sense, overseas, so they can get used to the pace of the game and get used to coaching, because that in itself was probably the biggest thing that affected my career, going to NFL Europe and being able to mature and get better at the quarterback position. But once I got there and was able to see how things were run and being able to be there as a rookie with Mark Brunell and see how he carried himself as a professional, and then going to Europe and then coming back and coming and seeing how David Garrard carried himself. We had just drafted Byron Leftwich, and he's coming from Marshall, and seeing how a first-round draft pick carried himself. It allowed me the opportunity to be around some great people and understand how to be a professional. And for me, the opportunity to make a living and take care of my family for a while was very, very intriguing. So I did everything that I could try and make sure that I was always on time. I was always doing what I was supposed to. When I got my reps, I made sure that my reps counted. And I think that's where, you know, a lot of people, may fall short. You know, don't count the reps, make the reps count. Is what I tell my guys these days, because, you know, you're only limited when it comes down to football these days in terms of reps. So you got to make it count. I think I did that the best when it came down to it in my professional career.
Quinn, one more before we let you go. And you played alongside Fred Taylor, who is one of the all-time great running backs. Only made one Pro Bowl, though, throughout the course of his career. It's always sort of felt to Bob and me like he's one of the most underappreciated running backs of all time. What do you remember about playing alongside Fred?
Man, let me tell you something. Fred is probably one of the most humble, most giving, most professional, most... I can't say enough about Fred, because Fred is one of those guys who took a small college guy like myself and put him under his wing when he saw that I was serious about being a professional, serious about being in the NFL. There's no question that Fred, in my mind, is a Hall of Famer, and I'm sure when his time comes that he will be. Fred is a guy who came to work every day and made sure he made the days count. Fred is one of the guys that I still stay in touch with to this day. He's actually one of the guys who has vouched for me about coaching situations and coaching interns in the NFL. But Fred is, I don't have enough words to thank Fred for what he's done for me in my career. But Fred as a player, I don't think besides Barry Sanders, Emmitt Smith, and Jim Brown, those guys that are up there, I don't know if there's been a better running back in the NFL. Fred was a powerful running back that had the ability to run you over or shake you out of your socks. He's a guy who was very, very talented, and he was about his business. And Fred actually showed me how to study film and how to break down a defense in terms of what we were looking for and how we wanted to attack. You would think that maybe a quarterback coach or somebody else would be the one to show me that. But again, like I said a few seconds ago, Fred was a guy who took me under his wing and showed me a lot about being a professional. So at the end of the day, man, Fred Taylor is a Hall of Fame guy in my book in terms of on the field. And he's also a Hall of Fame guy to me in terms of how he treated me and how he prolong and get my career in the NFL started and going. So, Fred is definitely a guy that when you talk about Fred, it's an emotional situation for me, because Fred is like a brother to me. And, he's always going to be a guy that when you speak on him, you got to speak right about him when you're around him, because he's a lovable guy. He's an awesome guy, family man, God-fearing man, and he's one of the guys that I always look up to at the end of the day.
Quinn, let our listeners know, how can they stay up to date with all the great things you're doing down there in Tallahassee, whether they're doing it online or they're doing it on social media?
Man, I tell you what, man, we're doing some great things at Lincoln High School, preparing these young men for whatever opportunities they have coming to them, most importantly, academically. I just believe wholeheartedly that the game of football has taken me places that I've never dreamed. And I just know that the game of football will continue to take young men places that they would never dream or never have any idea that they would go. And for me, being at Lincoln High School, we have the opportunity to lead this young man in a way that a lot of people don't understand. And, you know, I take a lot of pride in what we do at Lincoln High School in Tallahassee, Florida. So, on Twitter, you can follow me on Twitter at Coach Q Gray. And, you can also, follow me on Instagram at QG5 on Instagram. And you'll see a lot of what we do, because mostly my Instagram and my Twitter is very focused on what we do as a program and focused on the young men in our program. And, my high school, Lincoln High School, LincolnTrojans.com is our website, so you can follow us there and stay up to date with what we have going on, schedules and things like that. We have, in my opinion, one of the better high school websites in the country. That was designed by a guy that we definitely appreciate. So those two social media sites are where you can follow us and follow myself and what we're doing, Trojan Nation. And if you got anything you want to ask, feel free to ask. Direct message me or ask me right on my page, and I'll be more than glad to answer any questions that anybody may have.
Quinn, thank you so much for taking time out of your night to come back and be a part of the show. Way too long since the last time you were on. Hope you'll come back and join us again much sooner next time.
Always fun.
Man, you guys know I'm always for it. You guys are awesome, man. I tell you what, there's been no greater support that I've had than you two guys, man, and I appreciate it so much, and I thank you for what you've done for me in my career in terms of getting what I'm doing out there as a coach. And I wish you guys much success, continued success with the talk show.
Well, thanks.
Thank you, Quinn. We appreciate that very much. Take care. All the best to you and your family, my friend. We'll catch up again soon.
All right. Thanks so much, man. You guys take care.
Take care.
See you, Quinn. That is a former quarterback and now head coach down at Lincoln High School, Quinn Gray. And geez, Bob, Quinn has just been a guy that has been a joy to get to know over the years and have him as part of the show. Way too long since the last time he was on the show. Hopefully we get the privilege of having him back on the show again real soon. He's doing great stuff down at Lincoln High School.
It's an honor, Chris, to have him. And you get that Florida A&M theme when you talk to guys like him and Willie Simmons. It's about molding men. And it always comes up the education, Chris. It's not about football. Football is a vehicle, but these guys are more interested. The pride that goes along with FAMU down in that area is amazing. And these guys are bringing it to other levels. And Quinn, I mean, if I have a kid, I want my kid playing for Quinn Gray. And he's going to be a great coach wherever he ends up in his life.
Yes, he is. Looking forward to watching him continue to grow. All right, when Bob and I come back, we'll be turning on our Thursday Night Tailgate spotlight on the positive. We're going to do that on the other side of this real quick station break.